Welcome to my favourite Elliot Smith song. If you haven't listened to us before, we're all about keeping Elliot Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and welcome to episode 11 of the season. Today on the podcast, we're bringing you the second part of our special recorded at New Monkey Studios All My Rowdy Friends tribute show held in August 2024. Last time round, we had Sarah Love and Mero on the show, and for this one, we're joined by the musician Kevin Devine. Kevin was our guest way back in episode 8 of season 1, where he selected The Biggest Lie as his favourite song pick. But in this interview, he reflects on some of the songs he covered at the tribute show, including Division Day, Clementine and King's Crossing, a song Elliot himself never even played live. So here's Kevin talking to my co-host Elizabeth Withstanley. And do stick around at the end as we'll play a clip from Kevin's cover of King's Crossing as well.
Can you tell me what song or songs you're doing tonight at the tribute show?
In our little set, it's Division Day and Clementine. And then I'll also be, I guess, like helping lead the ensemble in King's Crossing from Basement on the Hill. And then a bunch of other stuff that people have been kind enough to let me just like get up and play on with them. But those are the three where I'll be like the Elliot surrogate for tonight.
And did you... did you know these songs well enough that you were like, okay, this is these are the songs for me? Or how did the songs come about?
I actually, when Joel and I started talking, I don't know if it's funny because my answers to all of these questions or all any thought process I have about this specific experience where it does this weird thing in my head where it's like splitting the difference between being a nerd and being hubristic, like not wanting to. The truth is, I've spent a lot of time with these songs for a long time. And so I actually had reached out to Joel at one point and sort of said, like, you can kind of tell me what you want me to do. And with a few exceptions where I'd be like, no familiarity, or the majority of them I have felt like comfortable enough to try to do. But there was a list. I maybe sent him like 15 or 16 that I was like, because I had done this thing last year. I do a Patreon, and we did it. One of the things every year, we change some things about what it will be. And one year we did a thing where we let people vote between a series of artists on who they'd like to hear a year's worth of covers by once a month. And Elliot won. So I recorded one of his songs a month for a year. And that was more formalized, but prior I'd learned a bunch of them just to like play them in my house or sometimes at shows or whatever. So that's a lot of words to say. I knew a lot of them. These ones I knew pretty well. King's Crossing, I knew like the acoustic version of. And when I realized like I would sort of be responsible for the beginnings of putting together an arrangement that we play as a band, and then realized that like he/they had never played that song. That was a little more like, oh, well, we'll see. And then it seemed to come together really nicely in the soundtrack. And that's unsurprising because they're all insane, really good. So I knew all the songs pretty well, but also like Clementine is like a step higher than it is on the record. And it's like a rock band version, which they used to do live, which was fun for me too, because it's fun to play rock songs. So yeah.
What song are you most excited about playing tonight?
For those three? I really do. Clementine is like a really special song that's like kind of lived somewhere in my head for like, I don't know, like I remember being in a bank, Chase Bank vestibule, ATM vestibule, when I was a college student, so like 2000, and like singing that to myself, waiting, and like this person being like, hey, you have a nice voice. And I was like, oh, I am so fucking sorry. I didn't mean to be like, you know, taking over the vestibule. So that one has like, I've lived a long life with it. Take yourself into slow-mo. Made an angel in the snow. But also there is something really visceral about when the King's Crossing thing really gets going and gets kind of frenetic, and that feels, you know, I think in my own music, I'm a little more indebted. The Elliott stuff is in there and the Beatles stuff and all that stuff. But then I also was a kid who grew up with punk and also grew up with like Nirvana and that the Pixies and that expression. And so I like when you're like hollering a little bit, and he could do that. But I think there's parts where I'm like, no, you just three chords and scream. So it's kind of nice to blend the two.
The King's Crossing came, I know we chatted a little bit about King's Crossing yesterday, but King's Crossing came up later. That
the conversation about it?
Like that you would be part of it, or?
I think there was a bunch of emails that there were several emails between Joel and I at the outset, but then when we got on the phone, and I think we talked for about an hour, and I sort of said, like, you know, I intentionally had sort of like stayed away from the basement stuff because I mean, I didn't know him, and I lay no personal claim. I'm a fan. But, and maybe like, and what's the word, like a homeschooled student, but I also, that stuff I do, I've made some records with people who worked with Elliott and knew him well. And that time period obviously is pretty complicated and fraught. And so I didn't want to like suggest songs from that. Also that project is complicated. Its completion is complicated. What exists is complicated. So I was kind of like, I'm not going to suggest any of those. There's plenty without those. And then when it was suggested to me, I was like, oh, if those doors are open and people are okay with it, then that song is a colossal song and I would love to play it. And
there's a few songs from A Basement on a Hill that I like absolutely love, but I understand what you're saying. And I'm sure, especially as a musician, maybe thinking about like, you know, you probably have lots of unfinished songs too. And, you know, thinking about like, what happens if somebody put those together and I haven't quite, you know, worked them out yet.
Sure. And I also think in specific with that record, the topicality and the contextualization in the moment in the life, I wasn't going to be like, hey, we should play those. Cause also there might be some people that are like, I don't want to go anywhere near that, but it actually seemed, which makes sense, given that the band was kind of, some of those songs were being played at sound checks and even played at certain shows during Figure Eight stuff, that there was like an appetite to do some of them. And then I actually feel it is way more important that they want and sort of get to do that than like whatever potential projected misgivings a total stranger might have about it. So yeah. That's why we did that.
And was it kind of exciting to think about how one might put King's Crossing together on stage with the band?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially because there really was a sense that it was like, I wonder if it'll, I mean, the loose blueprint is that recording, but that recording is also like pretty chaotic. It's kind of hard to pick out even like with certainty, like exactly what the hell's happening. especially on guitar, there's a chord structure, there's a melodic structure, but watching and learning him play it as an acoustic song is really different to what is happening on that recording. And is also, and what we're trying to do is present something that is like, there's six or seven people doing it. So it's not just like, well, I'll play the folk version of that song and you can stand around and, you know. So it was a little bit like, I wonder what'll happen when that chorus comes in and things are kind of meant to, but it felt yesterday like some amount of what you hope. They seemed to feel like some amount of justice was done. So that's cool. Yeah.
I think for me, there was a time where I listened to the King's Crossing like just on repeat, like
me too.
Endlessly.
Me too. Oh no, that's certainly, I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's a song I've like showed other people, interestingly, that weren't like super, either people that were familiar with some of his stuff but never got to that record, or people who weren't super familiar. Because there's something in that song that's actually pretty like it's singular. It's even in his catalog, it's like a little bit of a it feels like him, but it also feels a little different. There's like a sense of urgency in it that's a little more, and like there's also something almost like spooky about some of the sounds and the creakiness of it. And I think it was Sean yesterday was saying that it was like, it was almost like you make a recording with the main instruments and then he started like taking them out to see what would happen if you had all these weird things standing in. And I think you can feel that in it.
The King's Crossing was the main attraction. Dominoes are falling, a chain reaction. Scraping subject, ruled by fear. Told me whiskey works better than beer. The judges on vinyl, decisions on final, and nobody gets a reprieve. And every wave is tidal. If you hang around, you're going to get wet. I can't prepare for death any more than I already have. All you can do now is watch the shells. The game looks easy, that's why it sells. Frustrated fireworks inside your head.
I can't remember what song you talked about on the podcast originally.
Maybe The Biggest Lie.
Oh, maybe it was
maybe
Biggest Lie.
That's, I mean, that's the one that if there was like, you know, hey, you have to, right now, you have to say one. I'd probably be like, that.
Right.
But I think that one's the same thing as like, I just remember that for the very first show I ever saw him play at, and it became a like song, and one of the first songs I learned of his to play. And then it became like, you know, finding with, I know several people who've said this too, like Elliot's songs were like in the rotation as like lullabies with my daughter because of their softness and their melodic sensibility. Of course, like she wasn't retaining. I was also singing her like Daniel Johnston's True Love Will Find You in the End. And those, it's a beautiful song. Yeah. And also like there's a melancholy in that, but yeah. She, you know, I don't know if I poisoned her to be an especially melancholic kid, but she's probably going to get that from other places anyway. But that one, there's something about it that's just so pure. And for him, it's a relatively simple song, but it's perfect. It's perfect. And I love, it's nice. There's ones he made a few that you could actually like approach as a novice guitar player.
Yeah, that was
you.
The next song, the question I was going to ask you was just how complicated was it to, for you to feel comfortable with the songs that you're going to be playing here?
Oh,
how long did it make to
permanently? I feel comfortable right now.
Yeah.
Then sometimes I'm like, is that what he does, or what are my fingers supposed to do? Or, but Division Day and Clementine, I knew pretty well.
Okay.
I felt King's Crossing is a little bit more like, I just had to figure out an approach, and yesterday was validating in the sense that like the approach makes sense. But the stuff I'm doing with other people is also, I really want to do well because it's like they're singing there. So I want to make sure like they feel supported. And that's when you really are like, there's also so many things with his music. This might be a non sequitur, but I think it's connected. There's so many times I've learned his songs almost like iteratively or whatever over time, where you're like, oh, that's how you play that at 24. Mm-hmm. And like you cobble together a little more ability and you're like, oh no, that's not what that part does. You could sing the melody over that thing I was doing because the chord is close. But then you're like, no, that's actually this chord. And I've never seen anybody play that chord, you know? And so there's been versions of learning. And so I feel pretty comfortable, and also still like, I feel like I'll probably be forever being like, oh no, that's like a little, and then there's some stuff I'll probably be like, well, I'm never going to get that exactly right, but it's a fun thing to try.
But do you feel like your experience of getting to know those songs really well, because there's something different between being a listener and then actually sitting there and like trying to play the song and not not just trying to play the song like, oh, I wonder how this song goes. Like, oh, I'm trying to play the song because I'm actually
so I can like play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was part of that covers project, which was cool, is that I realized like if you're recording the guitar part to See You Later, unless you want to be there all day in your room banging your head against one particular, you really want to learn it. Yeah. And then you, part of it has always been, and I think this is actually something that I did get from watching his shows. I always thought like you want to be able to like play a song for people. Like you want this, you want to have enough control over it that you could actually sit down and be like, hey. And there is a difference. There's definitely, and with my own songs, there's a difference even between like, oh, that's a cool idea. And then being like, but can I actually do that while singing, while communicating it with intention and commitment? And with his stuff, it's always like a challenge, but I feel pretty good tonight so far. We'll see. I don't know. I just knocked on my head for the listener, but
you're singing King's Crossing. Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause you sounded great.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
I'm very excited to hear that.
Good. All right, cool. Me too. Yeah. And also doing it with like, I, not to be cheesy, but who gives a shit? I saw this band on this tour, which I think I said to you in conversation yesterday. So it's also like to be like playing any of this.
Yeah.
With the people that did that stuff, did the time, did that touring. I stood there in like the third row of Irving Plaza. And I remember seeing this band.
Yeah.
As a fan who'd been watching him since Either Or. And I loved when he toured with Quasi and there was such a punk urgency to that. Mm-hmm. But seeing this was like, oh, he got like his band, you know? And it was like, and they're like really good. Because just to even be able to play the stuff he was writing, you have to be really good. So I remember being like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So to be able to be, yeah, it's like there's neat, weird, full circle moments where you're like, that are less about like, stature or status or money or something, and more about just like if you had told the 22-year-old, oh, you'll like play with these guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's cool.
Yeah, so. That's great. Well, thank you.
A huge thank you then to Kevin for returning to the podcast. It was great to welcome him back. And that's pretty much it for today. We'll have one more episode in this season before we go on a bit of a break. So please do check back in with us in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you very much for listening. To play us out, here's Kevin Devine with King's Crossing.